Verse 16. Honor thy father and mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, these are all your family laws. You know, a lot of people say, well, the first commandments, actually, I'm going to turn there right now to Matthew chapter, because we're still in the fifth commandment right now. And Christ here divides up the commandments into two categories. And I'm going to read about them in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Think about that. That's your first five commandments. He's breaking this up into two categories. So not only do we have the Ten Commandments that outline 600 and something of God's laws, but you have these two commandments that sum up the entire thing. And this was the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's how the whole law, that's all those 600 and something laws tell us how to do that. They weren't replaced by love like some of these fruitcake Christians talk about today. Oh, no, we don't follow the law anymore. We just love. How do you love your neighbor? How do you know what to do to show love? Christ gives the answer right here. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. All of the law, the entire 600 and something commandments hinge onto those two. And how amazing that is. But so there we have it. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul would be the first five. And the second five would be to love your neighbor as yourself. But how is it that we get to the fifth commandment and honor thy father and mother is still in that category of loving God with all your heart and all your soul? Well, simply because family is a sacred thing to Almighty God. As you read about all throughout the scriptures, that God had a covenant with Abraham and his children. And it was a family affair. Therefore, family is very dear to God, and it is part of a high spiritual order. In fact, the family is the very basic structure of a nation or a government. If families can't govern themselves, if kids cannot respect their mother and father, they're not going to respect the nation. They're not going to respect any authority, and they're not going to respect God if they don't first learn obedience, respect, and love of their parents. That's where it all starts, you know. And this is the one thing that the enemy is trying to attack today, is the basic structure of a family. You notice it didn't say, honor thy two daddies or your two mommies. It didn't say that. Satan says that. Because he wants to destroy this sacred bond, this sacred structure of the family, so that he can control them. So that he can bring social disorder and disruption, and that he can come in and save it and play daddy himself. Very serious commandment. This is why God says, hey, you honor your father and mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's what it's about. Hey, when we break this commandment, when we don't hold family as a sacred institution, as starting with one man and one woman, then our days will not be prolonged in this land, and we will go into captivity. That's why it's so important. You know, in Minnesota here this year, we have on the ballot for voters, we have the right to vote for, or the right to vote. Well, there's going to be a box on there to check to say whether or not we want a marriage amendment. An amendment that states that it is only constitutional for a man, one man and one woman, to be married. Any other thing is unconstitutional. And that's why it's so important that we uphold that, that we vote for that. You know, you get some of these Christians to say, well, but they should just be able to do whatever they want. You've broken the fifth commandment. If you check no to traditional marriage, I don't care if you say you're a Christian or not, or if you're going to get married to a gay lover. Hey, if you support it, you're in violation of honoring the family. Now, again, there is so much into this law, this specific law, this specific commandment, I should say. So there are so many different laws into it. A lot of people don't think past this horizon. They think, oh, I just have to love my parents. No, you have to also protect the dignity of a family, the structure that God has given it. Verse 17, here we go, moving on to commandment number 6. Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt do no murder. You know, this is one that liberals just don't seem to take to heart. Again, I wrote an article about this on our blog titled, Can Democrats Be Christians? And it offended a lot of lukewarm people who say they're Christians. But if they would analyze the liberal Democrat principles of today, I'm not talking about Democrats years ago. I'm talking about Democrats today. Almost point for point, they are against God's commandments. Hey, they're for multiculturalism and diversity. That's commandment number one done away with. They're making their own God. That's commandment number two. Commandment number three, they take the Lord's name in vain by saying, God bless America, and hold their hand on the Bible saying they'll defend the Constitution. Yet they tear it to shreds. And then you get to the Sabbath day, and hey, the principle of that is they wanna rest more than they wanna work, and well, they're in violation of that, and as well as being in Christ, which is number one, and then they're for gay marriage. Well, they've violated commandment number 5. Then you get to thou shalt do no murder, and they're for abortion. The day that the Democrat Party began to support abortion should have been the day that every single Christian abandoned that party. There's no excuse. Remember, Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, hey, you cannot keep God's commandments if you put people in office who point for point are against God's law and his commandments. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there we go, right there. You know, how many liberals take this very serious? Sure, there's a lot of conservatives and other people that have violated this commandment. And it is sad. Because when this happens, it destroys that structure that we're talking about. That very essence or fabric of a nation, the family. And well, we're going to talk about that commandment in detail again, as well as all the other ones, when we get through some of the specific laws in this great book here. Neither shalt thou steal. Well, there we go right there. Redistribution of wealth is stealing. For any tax that's over and above 10%, or any other kind of tax, a progressive income tax, a sales tax, a gas tax, that's all theft. Should we pay our taxes? Absolutely, because we want to obey civil law. Because we don't want to go to jail and not be able to do God's work. But we're supposed to support politicians who support God's laws. And redistribution of wealth or high taxation, higher tax brackets for people who make more money is theft. God did not authorize anywhere in his word that you could tax people more, a higher percentage for making more, or that you could tax them on their land, their property. That's theft. Verse 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Oh my goodness, do liberals lie constantly? Do liberals lie constantly? Wow. Hey, and you know what? If you teach God's word, like we do here at Christian Overcomers, people are going to write all kinds of things on the internet, lies about you, saying you're this and you're that, or you're a false teacher or whatnot. Hey, I get hate mail like that all the time. I just got some today by some crazy kook lady who thought she was going to save everybody from my teachings, when all I do is teach from God's word. Amazing. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. And that includes gossip. And on the list goes, you know, we got a president today who continually lies to us, bears false witness. And it's pathetic. It really is. It really is. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. This here's your eighth commandment here. I'm sorry. We got six is thou shalt not murder. Seventh is adultery. Eighth is stealing. And nine is false witness. And then we get to the tenth commandment. And it's neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And you know what? I often say, hey, I better not have a neighbor that covets my ass. Especially if it's a guy. All right, I had to throw that in. I know we got to have a little bit of humor here once in a while. But anyways, this is exactly what socialism, liberalism, and progressivism is in violation of. They covet all of these things. And they set up the government, so the government covets our things. It covets our houses, our lands, by taxing us, both property tax and all this, taking things from us, wanting things from us. That's what it's all about, redistribution of wealth. I want to take theirs because I want it. That evil rich man that owned that, built that corporation, I want what he has. That's coveting, my friends. And that's why I say that liberals, Democrats, now I'm not saying Republicans are perfect. Hey, there are a lot of Republicans that break a lot of these commandments. But a conservative Christian that's in the Republican Party, you know, most often do their best to live by these, but to live by this moral code, this covenant that God has made with us. All right, well, we're going to read through this rather quickly now here because I think we're getting a little bit long on time. But that was the Ten Commandments that outline the entire law of God. And verse 22, these words which the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of fire, out of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. The Ten Commandments on those two tables. Notice he wrote them in stone. It's not on a piece of paper. It's not written with chalk where you can erase it or change or amend it, but it is written in stone, unchangeable. Unchangeable, no amendments. Verse 23, and it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. These were the representatives. The representatives of God's kingdom. And if you study God's kingdom and his laws and his constitution, it is a a republic, so to speak, or a representative government. It's a kingdom, but it has representatives, and these are the people. Even in the eternity, you have the 24 elders that sit around God's throne representing the people. Think about that. God's government structure is fascinating. I wish I could, there's so many things I want to share all at once, but I'm just going to have to wait to do it as we go through these things. But verse 24, and he said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. You know, one thing I failed to mention earlier is one reason God did not want to show himself to the Israelites and why he only wanted them to hear his voice is because they didn't want them to think they could worship him by simply bowing down to an image of him, a likeness of him, or they could say, that's Yahweh, that's God, that's the image of him, and we love him. Oh yeah, we love him. And no, he wanted people to worship him, to love him, by following his commandments. Therefore, he didn't want them to see an image. He wanted them to draw close to him through his word, by true obedience. And amazing. Basically, the opposite of all pagan. You know, pagan kings and dictators and all these different rulers, they want everybody to see the image of them. Take, for instance, Saddam Hussein. He had images of himself all over the place because he was the great ruler. Just respect me and bow down. No, God's not like that. God's not like that. He wants true love. True obedience. Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. Okay, that's how powerful God's voice is. I haven't heard it myself, but I could imagine the way it's described here of how, you know, what it must have been like for them. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire, as we have and lived? What other people has experienced this? No one. Verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us. Now they're saying this to Moses. Moses, you go. We're too afraid. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Do you know what that is? They're saying, hey, Moses, whatever the Lord tells you to do, we will do it. We will follow. We will obey. That is, in a sense, a marriage, a vow. It's basically, you know, many of you have been married. The minister, the pastor, the priest, or whatever says, will you do this? Will you cherish her all of your life? And you say, I do. And that's the same thing here is what's going on. The people said, I do. We accept. And, of course, they later violated this covenant. And the whole book of Hosea is about that and how God's feelings were quite hurt by that. Quite hurt by that. I must mention this. I believe that the Declaration of Independence... Well, I don't even necessarily have to believe it. I can state that it is, in a sense, a covenant made with Almighty God, much like this was here. For in the Declaration of Independence, they declared independence from tyranny. But at the same time, they declared their dependence to God. For they said, with firm reliance upon divine providence, do they undertake this cause? And there are a few other lines in there. Let me just grab it right here. I can't remember all of them by heart. I should. But they say right in the beginning, hey, with They say that they should have a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. That's actually submitting to the laws of God. Think about that. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, they're declaring their dependence upon God. They're declaring where their rights and their liberties and everything come from. It comes from God and His law, the Ten Commandments. And then at the end, it says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in name and by authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly declare," and so forth, okay? They were appealing their case to the Supreme Judge of the world. They were relying upon Him. This, my friend, is a contract with Almighty God. They listed all the oppressions that they were under by the King of Britain at that time, King George III. And they said, "God, please save us. Please rescue us." And then they said, with a firm reliance on the very end, the very last line, "with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. With trust, in God we trust." That's why we have that motto. My friends, America entered into a covenant with Almighty God. God gave us freedom and liberty and independence because we said, we declared that our rights come from Him. Not by man, not by government, but by Him. Because He is our King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we follow the laws of His kingdom, which are the Ten Commandments. The true constitution of God's people that supersedes all other constitutions that are made by man. For the United States Constitution is merely supposed to be in line with the Constitution of God, or with God's Constitution, the Ten Commandments. Verse 28, "And when the Lord heard the voice of your words, when He spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me, and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." That's what God says. I wish they just had a heart in them that they would want to listen. They'd want to obey because it's for their good. The law isn't oppressive. It's not something harsh that God wanted to put upon the people to burden them. It's all about giving life, protecting life, giving civilization order and discipline. "Go, say to them, get ye into your tents again." Verse 31, "But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it." That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow all these things. Not just the Ten Commandments in principle, but the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Verse 32, "You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." This doesn't mean be a moderate. This doesn't mean that we're supposed to be lukewarm. It means that we're supposed to stick straight on to God's word. We're not supposed to go by you know, by the principles of a political party unless it aligns with God's word. But God's word is our guide. And if somebody in our political party or our political philosophy strays away from this law, then we correct them. Or we say, hey, I don't go by that. I go by God's law. Let's get back to his law. Verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live. Again, there it is. That you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. God gave us this law out of love to preserve us, to give us life, to give us liberty, to give us happiness. Just as our founders realized, they knew where this came from. It didn't come from all these wise governments or pagan systems. It came from Almighty God. These Ten Commandments, again, give us our freedoms. Give us our happiness. They're not just a bunch of laws that make it so we can't have fun. They're for our own good. And you know how fascinating this is. And we're going to get into some more of this in the next chapter. But I guess to sum this up, hey, if we truly love God, we have to prove it as individuals, as families, and as a nation. Because if we say we're a Christian and we don't follow God's commandments, or we don't push to have them instituted into our political government, then we're lying to ourselves and to God. And we don't want to do that. But until next time, stay in God's word. Study his word. Do like Christ said, or listen to what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 while he was tempted by the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you digest it, see that you consume it, read it, study it, digest it, so that you can be a Christian overcomer.